everyone here this morning, and I hope that the new year is treating you well. You know, it's always been somewhat of a fascination for me about how excited we get for a new year. You know, we like changes to an extent, and it's always kind of neat to know that we're entering into a new year. The old number, the old year is being retired. And I think that, you know, we think that's kind of cool to be able to write a new year on the check. And, of course, after a couple of weeks of mistakes, we'll get that right after a while. But it is kind of neat to be in a new year. I was thinking about it this morning as I was sitting in meditation before I left the house. And I thought, you know, how does God look at the years? You know, does he get as excited about a new year? Does he put a number on a year? I mean, you know, we're talking about a being that is infinite, you know, that always has been and always will be. And probably he doesn't look at things in the same perspective we do. But, you know, being the creatures of habit and being the people that we are, we tend to look at the new years. And, you know, there's a common practice by many every new year to make new resolutions, aren't there? Just out of curiosity, and if you don't mind being honest with us this morning, raise your hand if you are making some kind of resolution this new year. Okay, well, just pretty close to half of everybody here. You know, I found it kind of interesting. I looked it up. I just wondered how many people do make New Year's resolutions. And then, you know, is there any kind of information on how many succeed in those things? And as usual, there's a poll for that. You know, there's a poll for everything anymore that you can find statistics on. A nationally polling agency came up with these statistics. 45% of Americans make resolutions on a yearly basis. Only 8% claim success. You know, that's kind of, you know, personal experience, that's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? You know, we start out the year with good intentions. We want to make some positive changes in our life. And so there are a lot of folks that make those resolutions. I wanted to spend just a little time giving you some resolutions that you can achieve in a very positive way. You know, there only being 8% success rate. Let me just give you three resolutions that you can make that you can succeed at. If you're looking for resolutions, I'm going to give them to you this morning. Here's three of them. Number one, resolve to gain more weight. We can achieve that, okay? And we can feel pretty good about it at the same time. Number two, resolve to procrastinate. I think that's something that we can achieve, okay? Here's the last one. And it is, you know, I think every resolution, every year ought to, you know, stay kind of up to date with our society's trends. We need to do something green, you know, think about our environment, okay? So here you go. Last resolution is this. Spend less time on laundry, more money on deodorant. Okay? We can achieve that one. There's three resolutions right there that you can use. Feel free to use them. I think that we can be successful in those areas. You know, I could spend some time this morning talking about resolutions that we can make as Christians. But, you know, I didn't want to spend time doing that. I think, for my own part, I quit resolutions several years back. I got to thinking about it. And really, as Christians, you know, resolutions shouldn't be a yearly thing as much as a daily thing. I think as Christians, we can make daily resolutions that we can work on. Paul himself said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." You know, I think our walk with God is not a yearly walk. It is a daily walk. Each day has its own challenges. Each day we can use, you know, we know the saying, today is the first day of the rest of my life. You know, and certainly it is so with the Christian that we can use each day to better ourselves. And hopefully we're making some challenges on a daily basis, and we've got this life mapped out and planned out, and try to have at least one goal that we can do spiritually on a daily basis so that we can better ourselves. What I want to do is something that I've done in all the places that I've been. You know, I've been preaching for 30 years now, and have been involved in several congregations. And one of the things that I always like to do, the first Sunday of every year, I like to take a look back. And I like to look at some of the things that we accomplished, acknowledge those things, and look at the areas where we have excelled. And obviously, we're going to do that this morning, but I've only been here for 6 months. So not only will we look at some of the things that we succeeded in, but I'm also going to give you some first impressions. You know, being the new kid on the block, I'm going to give you some first impressions of you as a congregation of brothers and sisters, and how you kind of match up with some of the congregations I've been involved with. And then what I also like to do is I'd like to take a look ahead. What are some things, maybe some things we're lacking on, maybe some things that we need to get better at, but look at some challenges for the upcoming year. And this is just my perspective as a preacher, some of the things that I think that we need to concentrate on or work a little bit better at. The elders, too, I think in the not-too-distant future are going to have a meeting with the congregation and talk about some of the challenges that they may have for this congregation. But this morning is just my perspective, some of the things that I kind of came up with and wanted to share with you this morning. Looking at the accomplishments of 2015, this past year has seen us have 7 baptisms and 17 new members. Now, I don't care what congregation you're talking about in the Lord's church today, but that is a pretty major achievement. You know, there's not that kind of growth that is going on in every congregation. That is a wonderful achievement to have. That acknowledges the fact that we are attempting to preach the gospel, and we are attempting to put on a good face in reaching out for brothers and sisters and showing our love and showing our care and concern for them and showing them that we think that they are special and we want them to be part of the family here. And so as you take a look at that, that's a wonderful accomplishment. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it talks about the church as it began on the day of Pentecost. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And you know, as we take a look at the perspective of adding souls to the congregation, that's not something we do. Okay, that's something God does. But at the same time, that can't happen if we don't fulfill our responsibilities. We have to be willing to put out the effort. We have to be willing to plant the seed. And obviously, because of the results that we have seen this last year, the seed has been planted. There is work going on in those areas of reaching out to others. And there will be plenty of opportunity in 2016 to fulfill those things as well. So, you know, this is a very positive and encouraging trait for any congregation. And I am so thankful to belong to a congregation where we're looking actively towards planting the seed and also reaching out to those brothers and sisters who may be coming into our community that want to be part of an active congregation. And we're reaching out to them and letting them know, hey, we want you to be part of the congregation and the work here. Another achievement. And there's the results of this achievement are still left to be seen, but you hired a preacher. And, you know, one of the things that the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Every congregation needs a preacher. You know, we're fortunate enough, this congregation's got several preachers. I just happen to be the one that's fortunate enough to be able to, you know, fill the pulpit and do some of the preaching and teaching. But we've got a lot of men in this congregation that is able to do the very same thing. And that's a wonderful thing to have. It's a wonderful blessing for any congregation to have. And, you know, one of the things, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but, you know, whenever I decided that I was going to make a change and that I needed to make a change, not only on my behalf, but also for my family, I started looking around for congregations that were looking for preachers. And 2 weeks after starting that look, I noticed that the congregation here needed a preacher. And I remember giving my resume and a couple of sermons on video and, you know, emailed them. And I'm sure that Don got those to the elders. And I think it was 2 days later, Art calls me and kind of gives me an over-the-phone interview. And then he decided that, you know, we'd like for you to come in and visit with the elders. And so 4 days later on the weekend, I came in and did my first interview with the elders. And I remember, for one thing, I've gone 20-something years without serving at a congregation with elders. And that was going to be one of the priorities for me, is to be able to be involved in a congregation that had a good set of elders. And it didn't take me long to figure out that this congregation had a good set of men that were elders here. And the questions that they asked me, I was so thrilled that they were concerned, not just for filling me out as far as, you know, what kind of speaker can you be? You know, what kind of abilities do you have? They were asking me doctrinal questions. You know, they were wondering, how do you, you know, what do you think on this? What is your belief on this? And that gave me 3 or 4 pages of questions that had to do with the Bible. I knew right then and there, this is the congregation I want to belong to. You know, I wanted to belong to a congregation that wanted to be doctrinally sound and put God's Word ahead of all other things. And it's just interesting, even though it took about 2 months after that, and I could have told them that, you know, you can hire me today, we fit. But they took 2 months. And but it's interesting that this is the only congregation that I tried out for, the only congregation I really wanted to be involved in, and God led me here. God allowed you to make that decision, and God led me here, and I am thankful to be here. And never have I regretted the decision to come here, and I'm thankful for the work that I'm able to do. So you were able to accomplish that. You know, your thoughts about me might be totally different than that, and that's okay. Maybe give me a little time to change those thoughts if you have any negative thoughts. But that's an accomplishment made, and I know that that was close to a year, maybe a little bit more in the making. You know, that's a long time process, and I'm thankful for the congregation here that they chose me, and I'm thankful that you were able to get that accomplished. This is that all the accomplishments? No. This is one of the most active congregations I've been involved in a long time. I have been thoroughly impressed with what you are not only able to achieve, but what you are willing to achieve. Because you see, in order for a congregation to be active, you have to be willing to do the work. And this is a congregation that is impressive in your abilities and your willingness to work. It's one of the most active bunch of Christian women I've ever been around. You know, this congregation could really stand out as an example in the work of the women and how active you are and all the things that you've done. Bibs for the nursing home people, soup for the elderly and shut-ins, blankets for the children's home, cookies for the police and fire departments. That's just a few of the things that have been accomplished in the 6 months since I've been here. I don't know what you did in the 6 months before I got here. But this is an active group of women. the We Care Center and the work that goes on there in reaching out to the community and providing a needed service and putting on the face of the Lord. And the work that goes on with that Barbara Moore kind of heads up, I don't want to just say that it's all women. Don and JC also take an active part in that, and I know several of the other men have as well. But you know, these are activities that shine a light to the community. And folks, that's exactly what the Bible says we're supposed to be doing, right? We're supposed to be shining a light to others. We're supposed to be showing our community and the people around us Christ. And this congregation does so. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, it talks about the ministry of Christ. And it also talks about those who were serving with Him. And listen to who it mentions. Soon afterward, He went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. You know, even in Christ's ministry, there were women working and fulfilling responsibilities that they could fulfill in the ministry of Christ. Here in this congregation, we've got the same thing going on. And that is so needful. Everyone needs to be active. And like I said, for the women here to do as much as they do and the willingness that they show in doing those things, you set a major example to all congregations around you. A lot of the congregations I've been involved in, I don't know that I've ever seen a more active women's ministry than is here. You love God's Word. You know, that was one of the things that impressed me. You know, one of the first activities that I was involved in the interview process here was attending a Friday night Bible study. And I thought, what in the world are these people doing studying on a Friday night? Friday nights, I mean, that's when everybody else goes and does, you know, the recreational things and the other sorts of things. And these people are studying God's Word. And that impressed me. You know, to see a group of people that have a love for God's Word. Folks, I've been involved in congregations that didn't have that kind of love, that didn't show that kind of love. I wanted to be part of a congregation that loved God's Word. And this congregation does. You have a love for God's Word. The Friday night Bible studies I mentioned, the ladies' Bible classes that continue to go on, the good old boys' breakfast and devotional on Monday mornings, and just the fact that you can sit here and no matter how long I preach, you're going to be attentive to me. You know, I look out and I see the reactions of people, and I've done so for 30-something years, and this is an attentive congregation. You want to hear God's Word. You love to hear God's Word. And you receive it so well. That says so much for the people of this congregation. As long as you have an attitude of loving God's Word and wanting to fulfill God's Word, good things are going to happen here. Good things are going to take place. Psalm chapter 119, verse 35 through 37 says, "Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." You know, I love Psalm 119. It was because that's all about God's Word, God's precepts, God's ways. And basically David saying, "I love all your ways. I love your Word." And we as people of the Lord, followers of Jesus Christ, we need to love God's Word. You know, and the last thing that I want to comment on is just your genuine friendliness. You know, I've had the opportunity since I've been here to be able to talk to a lot of folks who have come along and have visited this congregation that had no intention of living in the community, those that did have an intention of living in the community. And, you know, one of the comments that they all make is, you know, this is a very warm and friendly congregation. And it is. You know, I remember saying to Donna, after we visited the first couple of times and had opportunity to come over, and when we were looking for the work here, and you were examining me and that sort of thing. And I said, you know, after all the activities that we've spent, because it was a pretty thorough affair, but, you know, I said, all the activities that we've spent and all the associations that we've made with them, I sure hope they ask me to be the preacher. I want to be, you know, part of the, continue those fellowships with those people. You know, we were impressed with the friendliness and the warmth of this congregation. Christians should be friendly. Christians should be known for their warmth. Christians should be known for their love. And, you know, you got a congregation that doesn't show that, and you got a congregation of Christians that need a little work. And so, you know, that's something you're far ahead in. And it's something that's a great accomplishment that we can all work on ourselves on an individual basis to share with others as a group. And so, you know, all of these things, these are, like I said, they're first impressions, but they're also accomplishments. And I'm so thrilled to be part of a congregation that is involved in all of these areas. Now, I want to issue some challenges. There's three things here that I want to share with you that I think that you probably acknowledge that we need a little work in, and that you acknowledge that we need to show more growth in. And so I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't already know here. But still, we're going to look at these things and acknowledge them and try to work on them throughout this year. Although this congregation is mostly older members, don't get to the point to where you say within your heart, I'm too old to do this anymore. You know, we've talked a little bit about this in our Wednesday night Bible study in the book of Revelation. We've been looking at the seven letters to the seven churches. And one of the things that we have said at least two or three times already is, you know, Jesus' exhortation to them to continue in the work, to be steadfast, to keep on doing what they're doing. You know, Christians need to be able to continue to do what God expects them to do according to their talents, according to their abilities, according to their opportunities, according to the things that God blesses them with, sure. But there's something we can all be doing. Sometimes I think we sell ourselves short. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm just too old for that sort of thing. Or, well, you know, I did that for a long time. It's time for somebody else to take over and do that. Brothers and sisters, don't sell yourself short. I've already seen you do remarkable things. And I know you've got more to give to the Lord. I know there's more that you can do. I know that you are capable of doing probably much more than you give yourself credit for. So don't ever reach a point to where you say, well, you know, I need to step back and I need to start lessening my work. We don't get that opportunity. I mean, we don't get that option from God. As long as we live, as long as we've got the abilities, as long as we've got the health, you know, we need to be active. We need to be working for the Lord. Age is not that big of a deal. Age is not something that we need to be using as an excuse, because we all have something we can give. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, I talked about this. Only hold fast, steadfast is another word to be used there. Hold fast what you have until I come. You've got a lot. Hold on to it. You know, this is what Christ is saying. He didn't just say it to the church here in Asia. He's saying it to us today. Hold fast, hold steadfast unto what you have until I come. That means you keep working. You keep using those talents and abilities, and you take advantage of the opportunities God presents to you. Don't ever get to the point to where you think, it's time for me to retire, because we're not given the option to do that spiritually. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, the very fact that you walked through those doors this morning and you came into this auditorium and you sat down means that you're still running. Now, I understand some of us aren't running as fast as we used to, but you're still running. You know, we're still running this spiritual race. God has still given us breath in our bodies. God has still given us abilities, therefore we still have something to do for the Lord. Don't ever think that you're not important to this congregation. Don't ever think that what you have to give is not important. Everything you have to give is important, not only to everyone here, but most importantly to the Lord. And so be willing to work for the Lord. Secondly, this morning, we need to commit ourselves to building our youth group. And I know this is something that you already know. This was something that was emphasized when I came here by the elders in looking at some of the things that we need to do. And certainly we need to continue to do that. You know, and there already are plans being made to increase the activities of our youth and provide for them opportunities to bring their friends and get them involved. That's how the groups increase. That's how they are built up, is by them inviting their friends. And you, as people in the congregation, maybe you don't have children in the congregation anymore. Maybe you don't even have grandchildren in the congregation anymore. But there's opportunities for you to continue to help out with this in various ways. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I issued an opportunity, and it was filled up within a day's time. You know, offering opportunity to have a place to go and have devotional. So you already know the need, and you're willing to help out in that, and it's so important. There needs to be a balance of biblical education, work projects, and entertaining activities for our youth. And we hope to provide all of those things. I've seen some congregations kind of take extremes on some of these things. Make it all about entertainment. And that didn't help the youth whenever they grew up and needed that spiritual education. There's got to be a good balance. Things need to be spiritual in nature, and they need to be based upon God's Word and an education of God's Word and growing as a Christian. And that's what we're going to try to provide. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, Solomon writes and he says, "My son," so he's writing to someone younger, he says, "Beware of anything beyond these, of making many books there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh." And here's something that I want to encourage out of the parents. You know, we were all young. I grew up in the church. There were times that I woke up in the morning and I thought, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to go to church today." Anybody feel that way? You know, there's those times, and I'm telling you, it happens with children. Sometimes they think, "Oh, I don't want to." And you know what? I've known some parents. I've been a minister for so long. I've had parents come and bring half their family, and I say, "You know, where's your other children this morning?" "Oh, they just didn't feel like coming this morning." And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, "Really? And you didn't make them come?" You know, there's this idea of, well, you shouldn't go and push your children. You shouldn't make your children do this. Well, God gives us the directive to make our children do that. God, in God's Word, He tells us that we need to educate our children. He tells us the importance of bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Isn't it training our children to bring them to worship? Isn't that part of their training and helping them to understand the importance of being here? Not only for themselves, but for everyone else as well. You know, that's part of the training and admonition. We need to, as parents, encourage our children to be there for the youth group and not just for themselves. There's going to be times where they're going to say, "Well, you know, I don't feel like going. I don't feel like attending that situation." And as parents, we've got to be strong enough to know what's best for them. It may not always be what they feel like doing, but it's what's best for them spiritually and what's best for the group. So I want to encourage the parents to encourage your children. Encourage them to be active and supportive of the youth group, because we can't build a youth group if they're not there. We can't build a youth group if you're not behind them, helping them to see the importance of that. Verse 13, the end of the matter, all that has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. What's the end all of a youth group and a solid youth group and a strong youth group to help save their souls. That's the end goal, to help bring them up in the Lord so that their souls may be saved. And we should never lose that perspective. Finally, this morning, this is the first congregation that I have ever been involved in that I have not had to take charge of the education ministry. I am so thrilled. But at the same time, I know fully and I understand greatly what Craig and what Todd go through in trying to find teachers for our education system. Folks, understand that is one of the hardest duties given to anyone in any given congregation. It really is. Because of what I said earlier, sometimes we get folks who, they may still have the abilities to teach, they may still have the capabilities to teach, but they kind of reach this point of saying, well, you know, I've done that for a long time, let's let the younger people do that now. Well, that leaves just about every congregation I've ever been involved in, it leaves them short with teachers. And it is such a struggle trying to find teachers for classroom situations. Can I implore you this morning from my heart, from the heart of Craig and the heart of Todd. Todd's not here, but I know he'd be glad for me to speak on his behalf. Please consider your willingness in helping to teach in these classes for these young people. And you know, I know what the deal is. We're so afraid to say yes because we might get stuck in there for the next 10 years. You know, I know that. You know, I've been there. I understand that. But do you understand that it takes a lot of people to say yes? And then we've got rotations going on so that you don't get stuck in those classes? So that you can get in there for a quarter, teach, and then somebody else takes over the next quarter. And you know what? I bet that if you didn't want to stay in there for 3 months for a quarter, if you just wanted to do 1 month, you know, I bet Craig and Todd had probably set up a situation where, you know, you only had to do a month as long as you were willing to do it. But I know, I've been here long enough to know there's some talented people here. There's a lot of people that have got some great Bible knowledge and education. And I also know that we've got some men and women here who used to teach but don't teach anymore. And I know you've got your excuse ready for that. Okay, I understand that. Let me implore you, please consider teaching. The need's there. The need needs to be fulfilled. Who's going to fulfill it? Who's going to step up? I encourage you to get with Craig, get with Todd and say, look, I haven't done it for a while, but if you need me, I'll be willing to do it. Just tell me when you want me to do it. Okay? Step up. Be that person. You know, I guarantee you, not only will the children be rewarded with you being their teacher, you're going to be rewarded. You're the one that's going to end up getting more out of it. That's just the way it is with teaching. That's why I don't really like to be a student anymore. I like to be a teacher because I learn more that way. You know, you're going to be rewarded spiritually, but you got to be willing to take that step and say, here am I, send me. You know that biblical story, right? Well, here's an opportunity. You know, the Bible says, and there's a lot of scriptures that encourage this, but Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 has always stood out to me as Moses is giving the people of Israel the commandments for the last time, reminding them of the covenant and the commandments of the covenant. He says this. He says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How's that going to happen, folks? You know, ideally, that needs to happen at home. I understand that. But it doesn't always get done that way. So if it's not done at home, where's it going to be done? It's going to be done here. In order for children to be taught, there need to be teachers. Just like in order for preaching to be done, there needs to be a preacher. There's a responsibility that needs to be fulfilled. He goes on to say, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. How are our children going to be taught what they need to know about our Savior Jesus Christ if there's not any teachers to teach them? You know there's a need. I know that there's people in this congregation that can fulfill that need. And I encourage you, from my heart to yours, please consider meeting that need. So these are challenges. They're challenges that are really, whenever you take a look at challenges, they're not that great. They could be met. You know, we can do these things. These are not beyond our capabilities. They're not beyond the abilities of anyone in this congregation. These things can be done. You know, these are things that I've kind of seen that we need some help with. And I know your willingness, based upon what I already know about you. These things are going to be met. These challenges are going to be done. Next year, around this same time, I'm going to be talking about how we accomplish these things. Because I know you. I know you well enough to know that you want to help with these things, that you're willing to help with these things, and that you will accomplish these things as we press on in the year of 2016. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, I can't think of a better way for you to start off this new year than as a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. And the way that you can do that is so simple. It's the way that all the early Christians did so, as the New Testament tells us. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They were willing to confess that before others. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And they tried each day to live the way that God would have them live, fulfilling responsibilities, just like we have challenged ourselves with this morning, in order to try to better themselves and to better the church as it went forward. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so while together we stand and as we sing.
I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have I